This is KK4JZX, and we're about to begin the Anyham Radio Club TechNet. I hope I'm getting coming through here with a good copy. KK4JZX.
KF4RN, you are making it through. You are making it through. KF4RN.
All right, KF4RN, thank you very much. And folks, it's, let me see, it's 8:01 my time here. And that means it's 7:01 Central Time. So we're going to start the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for tonight. And it is April 18th, 2013. Hope you all are having a great night and a great week. And we do this every Thursday night. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And my name is Jose. I am from Miami, Florida. It's been 87 degrees all day today. And I have... let me take a break. All right, sorry about that, folks. The background noise, that's why I had to break. And I wanted to I'll let you all know that the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet is every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central. And if there is any emergency or priority traffic, we'll take it now before we begin. Go ahead. All right, since there is no emergency or priority traffic, I'd like to take any announcements for the net tonight. If anybody has any announcements, we'll take them now. Go ahead.
KF4RN.
KF4RN, go ahead with your announcement.
Yeah, I think there is one thing that this week we can't forget, and that is the bombing in Boston and all of the, and in West Texas, that explosion in West Texas. It's been a bad week for the rescue and personnel. This week has been a bad week for those guys. My hats are off to all those men and women that do that work every day. But I think we need to put our hats off to those guys and not forget what's been going on this past week. KI4REN.
KI4REN. Thank you very much for that announcement, and we certainly recognize your announcement there, and we recognize the folks that have been involved in taking care of what needs to be taken care of there, and our hearts go out to the families and the folks that have been affected by this, of course, and thank you very much for coming in and making that announcement. We definitely appreciate that, but come back, and you know, I've always heard your call sign, but I don't have your name. Give me your name, and then we'll continue. Thank you very much.
William Curry, Durham, North Carolina. QTH is Durham, North Carolina. Name is William Curry, Durham, North Carolina. KI4RAN. Copy?
Yeah, roger, William. KI4RAN. Thank you very much. And definitely appreciate your coming in tonight and talking about the Boston Marathon and the stuff that's going on over there at Texas. We did, I have been following that, and I want to thank you for reminding us about that and allowing us to have a moment to talk about it. Anybody else with any further announcements for tonight? Go ahead. All right, so we'd like to begin taking check-ins for tonight. This is KK4JZX. We'd like to talk about technology here on this net. So if you've got a question or a comment or maybe a suggestion, even a tip, if you've got a tip and you've had something on your mind for a while and you'd like to bring it up here on the net, that's great too. If you've got that question that's been nagging you for weeks and you'd like perhaps an answer on that as well, we could bring it up here. Just go ahead and check in tonight, and we'll try to answer your questions on whatever technology topics you might be interested in. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead with your check-ins.
KF4RN, I got a quick question. Net control.
Any additional check-ins with any additional questions for tonight? Go ahead, and then we'll pick up on William there. Okay, William, KI4RAN, this is KK4JZX. Go ahead with your question, and we'll see what we can do tonight.
All right, this is KI4RAN from Durham, North Carolina. My problem is I've got a power supply. It's blown two fuses within a 24-hour period of time. And I'm trying to determine whether it's better to put it at the, plug it in with the, at a surge protector, excuse me, or at an outlet. Does anybody have any good suggestions?
William, so what you're asking is, you've got a power supply that's blown a fuse, two fuses in 24 hours, and you'd like to know if you should be plugging that into a surge protector or directly to the wall. Did I copy that correctly, William? KK4JZX.
That'd be correct. You copied that correctly.
Okay, folks. All right. KI4RAN, thank you very much. Let's see if we've got an answer for your question tonight. William's question is, he's got a power supply that has blown two fuses within the last 24 hours, and he's wondering if he should be plugging that power supply directly to the wall outlet, or if he should be plugging it into a surge protector. Let's go ahead and see if we can answer that for William tonight, folks. This is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead with your check-ins. Perhaps you have a question, or maybe you have an answer for William. Go ahead.
KC8YIO, the answer.
Okay, KC8YIO, Dan, go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, hello to you there, Jose, and everyone on the net here, and I don't know what should be better there. Makes you wonder what's in series with your power supply, you know? It's blowing. You know what else is on? First of all, is it the fuse inside the power supply we're talking about here, William? And I agree with your what you said about the acknowledgement there in Boston and Texas. Is it your power supply, William?
Yes, sir, it is. It's the fuse within the power supply itself. It's an internal fuse within the power supply.
Okay, because I know one time mine was, I had a power supply that was blowing fuses, and for some reason it was pulling some high current. You know, I'm not sure, but it ended up that I had to get a different power supply. But, that's why I was wondering. Okay, then if you're hooking it up, so are you hooking up to what, like a 100-watt rig, or what are you hooking it up to?
Okay, I'm hooking it up to a 2-meter Yeezy radio, and I'm also got it hooked into a 440 70 centimeter radio. And up to this point, it was running both radios fine until I got to this point. And now it's like, what do we do? So, and all it's going to keep doing is, we don't figure out something, is it's going to keep blowing fuses, which I don't really want to do. So that is the problem. I don't want to keep blowing fuses when there could be a more serious problem in the power supply. So if there is, there is. I don't know. So that's what I'm trying to get to the bottom of before I put these radios back online again.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because I've had some problems with ours. So, okay. Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Because that's what I was trying to think, you know, if it's drawing too many amps or, you know, that's what I was trying to figure out. You know, you could hook it into a surge protector, but you'd have to be sure It would blow the surge before it would blow the fuse, you know. In other words, because if it's drawing too many amps, it'll, it won't work. So, okay. Well, I was just wondering, because one time I had a radio and I was underfeeding it in the radio, and it was over 100 watts, and it ended up taking out the radio too. Okay, William, well, I don't know, maybe, that's what I would try to do, maybe you've already done that. Well, thought I'd try to help. Maybe I'll think about it some more, maybe I'll have some more. So, okay, let's see how, weather-wise, it was 37, pouring rain. Here from a weather report, and... hope we have a good night here. Thanks for running the net, Jose. Back to net control from KCY.
All right, Dan. Thanks a lot for your comments, and appreciate that. This is KK4JZX. Jose in Miami, and it's been 87 degrees all day today. I think it's still about in the 80s tonight. And thank you for your question, William. I think... everybody should know that what we're talking about is William has a power supply that he has, within the last 24 hours, he's lost two fuses, and he'd like to know what he can do, whether he would have to plug that into a surge protector or plug it directly to the wall, because he doesn't, he's not quite sure why that's happening to him. So, William, I don't know, from my experience, I don't know if... I've worked with power supplies in the past, not radio power supplies, but computer power supplies. So I'm guessing, they're a little bit similar in some ways. And I guess if you're drawing too much, you're going to blow those fuses. But let's see if anybody here has an answer for that. And if anybody would like to check in tonight to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, go ahead. Okay, folks, we're talking technology tonight. This is KK4JZX. I wanted to let you know that Microsoft is going to be what they call, quote-unquote, end-of-lifing Microsoft Windows XP in 2014. So for those of you who rely on support for your operating systems, Windows XP is no longer going to be supported beyond next year. So time to get up to Windows 7 or Windows 8. If you'd like to check in tonight, folks, we're talking about technology here on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Maybe you have a question, or perhaps you have a suggestion or a tip. Or maybe you want to check in for the count. We'll take that, too. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
This is KK4PTC, Charles Moore, Jacksonville, Florida. Just checking in for the count.
Okay, I hope I copied that station correctly, KK4PQC. Come back with your name again, because I did get where you're from, but I think your name got cut off. I heard more, but I'm not sure I got that correctly. Go ahead, KK4PQC. This is KK4JZX. Welcome.
The call is Kilo Kilo 4 Papa Tango Zulu. That's Charles Moore, Jacksonville, Florida. Back to station.
Wow, it's amazing. Amazing how PQZ and PTZ could be mistaken, but I apologize for that, Charles. Welcome to the net. I don't know if I've heard you on here before. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. And all right, if you'd like to make any comments before we move on, go right ahead. This is KK4JZX.
I'm kind of interested in building my own antennas. So far, I built a 2-meter ground plane. I'm getting ready to build a dipole here in the next couple of weeks. But those are mainly my interests right now. I'm just getting into it and kind of just trying to get a better output on my radio back to net.
Yeah, Charles, KK4PTZ. You know, there are lots of folks here on the Handy Ham conference that definitely enjoy the antenna topic. That's been quite a vivid subject on here in the last few tech nets. And if you'd like to talk a little bit about what you're trying to do, and maybe we can get a discussion going on that. And thank you very much for checking in. And if you do have a question, feel free to jump in again. Check right back in, and we'll take your question or your comment. But if you do want to talk about your plans for your antennas, feel free to do that. If you want to do that now, go ahead, and then we'll continue. This is KK4JZX. All right, KK4PTZ, Charles, still with us? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm just kind of listening in. Like I said, I just got them built, and just haven't been able to put them up on the air. I got to build my stands for them. I live in an away community, and they're kind of down on radio, so I'm making them come out here. But as soon as I've been able to get my other radio that I'm waiting on, I'll be going up on the air and be able to tell you a little bit more about how they're operating. But right now, I'm just getting them built and getting ready to put them online back in net.
All right, Charles, KK4PTZ, this is KK4JZX. Thank you. Thank you for checking in tonight. And do come back and actually stay with us tonight, and do come back when you get your setup going there. Folks, taking check-ins tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And we've got one question on the table. We'll talk about it in a little bit. If you've got a question tonight or a comment, we're taking it. This is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead. It's your turn to check in.
This is November 5, X-Ray, Charlie X-Ray. What's your question there tonight, Jose?
Hey, Woody. Yeah. William. K-I-4-R-A-N. K-I-4-R-A-N had a question. He's got a power supply that has been has blown a fuse twice in the last 24 hours, and he's wondering whether he needs to plug that into a surge protector or keep it plugged into the wall, and he's trying to figure out what's going on there. What do you think, Woody? Go ahead.
It sounds like short to me. It sounds like he needs to check his transformer first before he plugs anything in. And as a matter of fact, to check that or have someone, I don't know how sighted he is. He might have to have someone else check it, but before they do, to be sure to leave those capacitors flat back across the room, But I don't know. It sounds to me like he's got a short somewhere in the supply. It's not supposed to blow fuses over.
Okay. KI4RAN, you copy that? Go ahead and go direct with Woody there. This is KK4JZX. KI4RAN, still with us there? This is KK4JZX. N5XEX, Woody, I think we lost William there. KI4RAN. So Woody, go ahead with any additional comments for tonight, and then we'll get back to William if he does get back. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Everybody does well. That last build that you did, I think it was the 3-8 or something like that, 3-6, 3-8, somewhere in there. I couldn't get it to working on my Windows 7. I don't know what the deal was, but anyway, everything else seems to be working good. Hey, the guy that called in said he's looking for stealth. That's what the remote base is all about there, over.
Woody, N5XEX, what was your last comment about that gentleman that was looking for something in particular? He did say he was trying to, I think it was Charles, I think he said that he was going to be building his own antenna when he got all his equipment in. But that, what is that what you're talking about there? Go ahead.
Yeah, if he didn't want to go to the trouble, or if he doesn't want to, or if he can't get some, if he wants to get on the air before then, you know, he that's what the remote base is all about. I mean, people that won't allow antennas in the complex. You know, that's one of the things it's about. The other thing is people like me who can't get up on the roof anymore, put up aluminum there. Over.
Ah, okay, Woody, I got it. Yeah, that's if Charles is still listening, yeah, that's a good idea. If he's a Handy Ham member, he could have access to the remote base. But Woody, come back to me. You said you had some issues with was it version 6.2.0.230? Is that what you were having issues with there? Go ahead.
No, I think it was the last daily you did. It was 238, I believe, and I just couldn't get it to work with the ZSW rig. You know, using the IRB sound there. Had a little trouble getting it to go with go with Skype. It wouldn't dial it up. I had to dial it manually, but it wouldn't work at all on IRB sound. I don't know what the deal was, but that's what goes. You got my note that I'm not going to be able to get into it anymore anyway. You guys take it easy. I'll talk to you later on. I just got the dinner bell. So, N5XEX, back to you, Nick.
Okay, N5XEX, KK4JZX. Yeah, Woody, the issue with IRB sound not working is usually means, don't know if you were running it from the daily build folder, or if you copied the application to your local drive, but if you're running it from the folder, the daily build folder, you're not going to be able to use IRB sound. It's got to be copied into the web transceiver folder on your local machine there, on your hard drive, on the C drive. You know where it goes into the program files under W4MQ? Right in there is where you got to have the application together with the IRB sound. If you had it there, it should have worked properly. If you ran it from the daily build folder, then it wouldn't have run. It wouldn't have loaded IRB sound. Go ahead with your final, and then we'll move on. KK4JZX.
Nope. That's where I was. You hit the nail on the head there. I was using it from the daily bill folder, and you're right. It doesn't do IRB sound. You're absolutely right. Okay. Yeah, I was kind of worried about that. I was hoping that you weren't taking a step backwards there on those things. Hey, but we do appreciate all the work you're doing there, and I just wish I could be a part of it. But I just got too many irons in the fire. You know, I'm working now locally. I'm helping the people get on the computers and all that with the library. You know, that don't know what, you know, which end of a mouse to use and all that kind of stuff. Okay, which takes a lot of patience. Let me tell you. So you take it easy. And we'll talk to you later on. Going to dinner, N5XEX. So we're clear.
All right, Woody, N5XEX. Always a pleasure to have you on here. And, yeah, I'm glad that I was able to help you there. And glad you've got some work there. Yeah, you know, some people call it the mouse. Some people call it the foot pedal, you know, when they don't know what it is. So that is what it is. And go ahead and have your dinner. And thank you very much for checking in tonight. All right, folks, I don't know if KI4RAN is back on with us, but if you are, William, are you with us? This is KK4JZX. Go ahead. All right, so we're moving on here, folks. Again, this is Jose in Miami, Florida, taking the net tonight, the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. If you've got a question about technology, or maybe you want to talk about pretty much anything else having to do with radio, but technology-related, maybe you have a suggestion, you have a question, you have a tip, this is your turn. anybody, anywhere, with, you know, if you can hear the sound of my voice, we're taking your calls. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
K4, Papa Tango, Zulu again. Yeah, I'm with Handy Ham, and I've tried doing that remote radio, but I'm just having problems trying to, I guess, get connected or whatever. I have learning disabilities, and it doesn't help to read, but I've got an email pass. Send some emails to him, see if he can't help me try to figure out how to get that thing set up properly back in there.
Okay, Charles, KK4PTZ, we're definitely making it better, making the remote-based client more accessible. I'm actually working on recoding some parts of it to make it easier to use. So hang in there. Keep trying, because and if you've if you need to get it going and get it working, send your request in, because we are going to be releasing a new version very soon, and that's going to have some more functionality and some added ease of use features, and so you'll be able to do a lot more with the client and do it easier than you did it before. So hang in there and keep watching the remote-based client website. That is http://www.handyham.org/remote-base, all together. And Charles, anything else you'd like to tell us tonight before we move on? Go ahead.
No, not at this time. I think I kind of took up quite a bit of time already. But anyway, I'm sure there's some other people to try to get in. KK4PTZ, back to net.
All right, thank you very much for checking in tonight, Charles. This is KK4JZX. Anybody else tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet? Go ahead.
Zero Tango Delta.
Got Pat there, WA0TDA. Good evening, Pat. And it's, wow, it's 8:33 my time. It must be freezing where you are now. I know you had a storm today. So, how are things going up there? What do you got for us tonight, Pat? Go ahead.
Well, I suppose I've got maybe 3 inches of snow out here in the front yard, if you want me to send that down. But what I was doing was listening along, and unfortunately, I think KI4RAN is not on the list anymore here, so I don't know, maybe he went to dinner or something. But I was going to mention that what I'd like to know about that power supply is whether it will blow fuses when there's no, because we definitely need to determine if the if there's an excessive load that's causing the circuit breaker to trip or the fuse to blow, whichever it is, or if the power supply is in a no load condition and you turn it on and then it trips off or blows the fuse, then probably it's got a shorted diode or something like that, or maybe a problem with the regulator. So it could very well be a problem with the load, and the power supply is perfectly okay. WA0TDA.
Okay, Pat. Yeah. William was here, but I think he got disconnected, because I know he was waiting for his answer. But thanks for your suggestions. But I wish William were here so we could ask him these questions, and hopefully he'll come back, and you'll be here later on. I'll go ahead and take additional check-ins now for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Anybody, anywhere, if you've got a question tonight, technology-related, it's your turn. Go ahead.
KA9OPL, Joe in Indiana.
Riverville, Texas. My name is Jim, checking in.
All right, I got KA9OPL, and then I got a Jim. Jim, come back with your call sign, because I think you guys were doubling there. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is KE5AL, Kilo Echo 5 Alpha Lima.
Got it. Copied that one. KE5AL. KE5AL, Jim. Let me come back. Before I come back to Joe, are there any other check-ins for tonight? Go ahead. All right, Joe, how's it going tonight? KA9OPL, KK4DZX here. Thanks for joining us tonight. And Go ahead with your comment, question, or suggestion, or tip, or, you know, just checking. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Well, good evening, Jose, and everybody on the net. Good to hear you in there. I have, honestly, I missed last week, I think, and I know you were on vacation for a while, so I hope you had a good one. I don't have too much tonight, although I'll throw something out there, and if there's anybody who has any knowledge of this, it goes back a little bit. I've got an HTX 420 Radio Shack dual bander, which is a 2 meter, 70 centimeter, or as we like to call it, 440 transceiver. And great radio. I've had it for about 10 years, and it's still clipping along really well. Battery is still good. It's built like a brick. But I had read somewhere that you could actually make a programming cable for that thing to hook it up to a computer. And that's the new news to me, but I'm just wondering if there's anybody out there who's got any information on anything like that. That's a very unusual request, but anyway. beyond that, I don't have too much to offer this evening on any of the, I think Pat's suggestion about the power supply is a good one. Otherwise, you just kind of have to go through it to see if there are any shorts. You know, a voltmeter would be the best way to, you know, especially if you got a voltmeter that will do a diode, you know, check diodes for shorts and that kind of thing. Most of them will. They have a setting in the resistance circuitry. And if you got one that'll do that, that'd be a way to test it. Other than that, good to hear everybody in there. I'll turn it back to Net Control. This is KA9OPL. Back to you, Jose, KK4JZX.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much. KA9OPL, KK4JZX. Just come back to me for a second. I think you said HTX 420, Radio Shack dual bander, and you're trying to find out how to build a data cable for it, so you can program it from your computer. Did I copy that correctly? Go ahead.
Roger, QSL. Yeah, it is an HTX Hotel Tango X-Ray 420. And yeah, I'm not sure. I think somewhere along the way someone said that might have been made by ICOM, but I really don't know. I know it was marketed by Radio Shack, and I got one right before they stopped selling their ham equipment. And I got a good price on the thing, too, but it's a great radio. So yeah, you're correct on that. Over.
All right, Joe. Yeah, thank you. And thanks a lot for the suggestions for William. Hopefully he'll listen to the archive and get some good suggestions on his issue there. And then, all right, let me move on real quick here to KE5 Alpha Lima. I think I got that correctly. KE5 Alpha Lima. That is Jim. Good evening, Jim, and thanks for checking into the net tonight. What's your comment, question, or suggestion for tonight? Maybe you have a tip as well. KK4JZX, go ahead.
Yeah, KK4JZX, this is KE5AL in the net. First of all, on the power supply, I wonder if he's ever tried to tried disconnecting the loads. You know, that'll tell you right away probably whether it was in the power supply or the load. I wonder if that fuse blows right away when he turns it on or when he plugs it in, or if it takes a while to blow, you know, some things like that. Anyway, I have written a program that I love to use with my, I have a TS930 using the PIEXX board, but I think this would probably work with any Kenwood rig. It uses the Kenwood command set, and it's real good at reading the frequency and letting you change the frequency and set memories and change memories It has a logging feature, and it works real good with a Braille display. I have JAWS and a Braille display, and I just really like it. It makes using the radio a lot easier. And just wonder if anybody'd be interested in anything like that, Jose. So I guess that's about all I have. This is KE5AL.
Jim, KE5AL, thank you. KK4JZX here. Tell me a little bit more about your program. I'm a developer. I've written applications and I started writing applications in 1989. So way back with ROM Basic. So I've gone through and, you know, from ROM Basic moved on to GW Basic and you name it. And I'd be interested in learning a little bit about what you're trying to do there, what you're doing, and perhaps who knows. But tell me a little bit more about that. Tell us a little bit more, and they're very interested in that technology. KK4JZX, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. This is KE5AL in the net. Well, let's see. It uses it connects to the radio using a serial link, and actually I have a USB to serial adapter, and then I connect to the radio. And I mean, when it first comes up, it starts reading memories out of the radio, but you can use it while it's reading the memories from the radio. And you can, for example, enter a frequency and it'll go to that frequency. You can enter a memory and it will go to the frequency in memory, or you can set the frequency in memory. You can look at a list of memories. You can scroll through a list of memories and go there. There is a cursor on the over the frequency. It like I say, it works with my TS930, and so I can't like set the VFO and the mode and stuff from the program. But I don't have to show to you, but it works real good with a Fairplay, and that's really what it's optimized for. But for example, the display, it'll show you the meter reading, and then it'll show you which VFO you're using, whether or not you're split, and then the frequency you're on. And you can actually change that frequency with the cursor up and cursor down, and you can move the cursor over whichever digit you want to change. Or like I say, you can enter the frequency manually, or you can enter it from a memory. And it'll also, you also can log with it, so you don't have to switch to another program to do logging. And you can export that log to the ADIF format, or import from ADIF format. I don't want to time anything out here, Jose. It's written mostly in Visual Basic. I do have some libraries I wrote written in C#. Anyway, this is KE5AL.
Oh, Jim, you know, don't worry about, you know, if as long as we break in between, don't worry about taking up the time. As long as we break to give the repeaters time to ID and all that, and we'll be okay. But this is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And Jim, very interesting. I've been developing in Visual Basic 2010 for the past couple of years, and I'm actually writing some code now for the remote base client. So very, very, very interesting that you're working on that functionality for your particular radio. But go ahead and come back to me if you've got any other questions or comments, or perhaps any other descriptions of what you have created, so that way everybody can benefit here, and then we'll move forward. And if you have to break in between, just break and continue. But this is a very interesting topic. KK4JZX, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, okay. KK4JZX in the net, KE5AL. Yeah, thank you. The thing I really like about this, Jose, is that I can use my radio without having to listen to a synthesizer babbling at me. And I think it'd probably work for any Kenwood rig, at least as far as monitoring the frequency and setting of the frequency goes. It'll also show you the RIT offset. if the RIT is on. Anyway, I have mentioned it a couple of times on the blind hams list, which I know you're on, and you know, I'd be happy to send you a copy of it. It's I have an installer for it, and you can just install it and use it if you have the link to your radio. If you have a serial connection to your radio, either through a serial port or through a USB serial type emulator thing. I guess that's about it for now. I'll just hang around here and read the mail, but anybody who's interested, I am on the Blind Hams list, and I would be more than happy to send this thing to you, let you try it and see what you think. I'd like to get some other hams on this thing to get some other viewpoints on how it works. So one other thing, I'll just break a little bit there. One other thing is that it uses the keyboard extensively, like for going to a field in the log. You use like Alt C goes to the call and Alt M goes to the name and et cetera, so it, for example, a control F, if you want to enter a frequency, puts up this number, and you can select from this or just enter a memory number. You don't have to mouse around, you don't have to select from menus, but you are well advised to memorize a few of the command key sequences before you jump into a QSO there. Anyway, I'll go back to Nat here, and thanks for giving me the time here, Jose. This is KE5AL.
KE5AL, no. You know, this is exactly what it's all about, technology. And as long as we can further the hobby and make it better and have as many solutions as possible that are as low cost as possible, perhaps even free sometimes, that would be great. And we definitely appreciate your coming in here and talking about your tool there. Definitely like to see to check it out. I don't have a Kenwood radio, but I'd like to check out the interface. It is interesting to me. Thank you for checking in. Anybody else at this time that would like to check in to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet with any comments, perhaps on what's been talked about already? Maybe a recheck. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have a tip. And thanks to Joe and Jim for checking in again tonight. And thanks, Jim. I think this is probably the first time you've checked in here. But anybody else? Anybody else anywhere? Go ahead and check in, and we'll see what happens here. Go ahead.
A W7ALX.
HG.
You know. For the longest time, and I do have to admit this because I'm, I am very honest. I had the hardest time remembering your name, Mike. Mike, W7ALX, and then KF5HGU, Bob. Those two names, I don't know. I always seem to remember the call signs, but could never put a name with the call sign. Don't know why. You two are very, very good people, and always checking into the nets, and we appreciate that. But I had to tell you that I know you probably noticed, but way in the beginning, I had such a hard time remembering your name, Mike. W7ALX, thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead.
Good evening, W7ALX in Depot Bay. Good morning, Jose. Good morning. Good morning. Hello. Good evening, Jose. Good evening to the net. That's quite all right, Jose. I just checked in and logged on. I think last week I mentioned that I'm involved in a pretty extensive recording project at the moment, and I just heard KE5AL, but I didn't get the name of the program that he was talking about. I just came in over the last 5 seconds of his transmission, so I didn't get exactly what it was. Could you let me know what that was all about there, Jose? W7ALX.
Okay, you know what? I'll do better than that, and I'll bring in if Jim is still around. And Bob, If you will allow us, I'll come back to you, KF5HGU, but let me bring up, bring in Jim here. Jim, KE5AL, go ahead, if you have time, give Mike, W7ALX, a description, a quick, quick and dirty description on what your tool is and what it does, and we'll move forward here. Thank you. KK4JZX.
Yeah, KK4JZX, this is KE5AL in the net. Yeah, hi, Mike, W7ALX. It's a program that I use to control my Kenwood rig. It's a TS930, so it has limited functionality that you can actually control, but it's very good at monitoring the frequency and controlling the frequency, and it it's really optimized for use with a Braille display. So you know, you're wondering what the program is named JJ Radio. That's just the name I gave it. I wrote it, and you know, I'd love to you know, have some people using it and get some feedback on it. I'm still working on it, so you know, it's still a work in progress. But that's what I was talking about, Mike. So W7ALX in the net. I guess I'll go back to you, Jose. KK4KMJ. This is KE5AL.
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike, with your comments. W7ALX. This is KK4JZX. Thanks, Jim, for your description there. Go ahead, Mike.
This is W7ALX. Thank you, Jim. KE5AL. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Perhaps I don't know if you have text. Chat, text chat capability, but if you wouldn't mind posting, or if you don't mind giving me your email, post it up there in the chat window, perhaps you know, so that we can let the other stations get in here. I'd like to take a look at that and maybe get a little more information and see if it would work on other rigs also. I would imagine it is. And mostly all of my rigs, with the exception of one, is are all Kenwood radios. Anyway, thank you for the info. Okay, Jose, thank you very much for allowing me this opportunity. Back to Net Control. This is the ALX.
All right, Mike, W7ALX, thank you very much. This is KK4JZX, Jose in Miami, Florida, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. It is April 18th, 2013. And let me pick up on Bob, KF5HGU, a regular on the net. Thank you very much, Bob, for checking in. And what's up? What's your comment? Go ahead.
KK4JZX in the net, KF5HGU. Well, I really don't have any comments, Jose, and don't worry about whether you do or don't get the name right, or do or don't get the call sign right. You wouldn't believe what I do through how I screw things up sometimes. So don't worry about that. Interesting net as always, Jose. You have a unique style of running the net and carrying it forward. I always enjoy listening to it. Don't have much for tonight. Just for, getting close to the top of the hour. Wanted to get in for a check-in before I scooted out of here. KK4JZX, KF5HGU. Have a good evening. 7-3. See you next week.
All right. Thank you very much, KF5HGU. Bob, I heard you on the Friday net the other day. I just don't remember if I checked in with you or if I checked in with, there you go, Reg, right? And but yeah, I heard you pick up for him. Don't know if you did, if it was you. Was it you, because I was downstairs and I thought I heard you. Was it you, Bob, that was running the net last week? Go ahead.
I did pick up for a little while, and yes, you did check in with me, because when I heard the call, I said, I know that guy. And so there's been a number of times when I've done that periodically, and I have to repeat somebody. It's somebody I know, but when you clicked in there, I knew it for sure. So, yes, and I'll be on there again this Friday night. Hope you'll come back and join us. KF5HGU back to net.
I'll try my best. My daughter's sweet 16. Is tomorrow night, so I'll be partying with her from 6 p.m. till about midnight, and then we'll see what happens after that. Thanks, Bob. KF5HGU, KK4DZX, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Anybody else tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet? If you've got a question, maybe you have a comment about what's been discussed already. We've talked about some stuff that Jim, KE5AL, has put together for his Kenwood radios, and William had a question earlier about his power supply. Says he's been blowing some fuses, blowing fuses twice in a 24-hour period, and he doesn't know why. And a bunch of other discussions about technology and programming and all that. So go ahead with your check-in. Anybody, anywhere. This is KK4JZX.
KL3RH.
Oh, my goodness. KL3RH, Riley. How's it going tonight? Are you still awake tonight, Riley? Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Oh, yeah, wide awake. Got a bunch of projects going on here. We're upgrading Sam's computer and just got the first load of the OS done. Got to grab drivers, get them installed, and all that junk. So that's what's going on here. Not anything super exciting or earth-shattering, but nonetheless, that's what it is.
Hey, Riley, yeah, you know, I heard you this morning. By the way, this is KK4JZX. I heard you this morning talking about, you know, I hadn't heard that phrase in a while, grease monkey. You know, when you were describing you're fixing the car, your son's car, the transmission thing, and man, I almost blew down the stairs because I moved my computer right near the stairs, and I almost blew down the stairs when I heard that. KK4JZX, go ahead, Riley, with your final, and then we'll move forward.
Oh, that was an understatement. I mean, I was, I don't know what color I was, but I was gook from head to toe. I mean, I'm sure it still increases in my skin. It was an experience. Would I like to repeat it? No. Did we get the project accomplished? Yes. But I'm not into doing that anymore. I've pretty much realized I'm too old for that. KL3RH, back to net. Have a good night.
All right, Riley, KL3RH, KK4JZX. Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure, you know? People like you and I like to do things. I know this is not technology, but I helped my sister switch out an alternator recently, and I'm sure I was all greasy everywhere as well. All right, folks, any additional check-ins for tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet? We've moved away from technology to changing starters and generators and, you know, fixing transmissions, but it's a fun thing. So if you've got a question tonight, maybe you have a comment, suggestion, it's your turn if you can hear me. If you can hear my voice, go ahead and check in.
This is KE5AL with another comment.
Go ahead, Jim, KE5AL, KK4JZX.
Yeah, Mike was asking me to put my email address in the text there, and to tell you the truth, I don't know how to do that. Can you even do that on a conference? I'm using the PC client on my laptop, and I did a quick look at the help, and I can't find how to do that.
Hey, Jim, you come to the right place. Alt-4. Just hit Alt-4. And that'll put you in the text typing window. And you can type stuff in there and hit enter, and it'll be put into the text box. If you want to look at who's in the conference, just hit Alt-2, the Alt key plus the number 2. But if you want to type in a message, the Alt key plus the number 2 on the number row at the top there, Alt-4, I'm sorry, will get you to the text box. Copy? KE5AL, Jim, copy my suggestion there? Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I copied it fine. I guess I didn't transmit there. Yeah, I copied it fine. Do you use another key sequence to read what's in the text box?
By the way, KE5AL, this is KK4GZX for ID there. If you press Alt 4, you're in the typing area. If you press Shift plus Tab, it takes you right into the area where everything is you know where everybody where all the text messages are coming in from everybody. So Alt 4 gets you in the typing area. Shift Tab gets you right from the typing area into the text messages that are sent by everybody in the conference. KK4JZX, did you copy that, Jim? All right, Jim, I didn't quite copy you there. KE5AL, KK4JZX, go ahead before we move on here.
Yeah, okay, I copy that. Alt 4 to do the text, to go into the text area, and then you, what'd you say, Shift Tab, that tab to read the text. Okay, I'll put my email address out so that if anybody wants to contact me, they can.
All right, Jim, thank you very much. Thank you very much, and feel free to jump in anytime, anytime at all. Folks, KK4JZX here. Any more check-ins? Any more check-ins with questions? This is Technology Net. If you've got a question about technology or a suggestion or a tip, this is your turn. And maybe you want to check in for the count. That's good, too. KK4JZX, go ahead. All right, KK4JZX here, Jose in Miami, Florida, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. It is Thursday night. We're doing this every Thursday night, folks. And if you want to join us, we're here at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And Handy Ham has daily nets every day at 11 a.m. Central Time, including Sundays, except that Sundays is a rag chew net, but we're still here. And then we've got the Wednesday night net with Doug, and there's always a trivia question on there. And then we've got this net on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. And there's a net on Friday night, the World Net, and that's also at 7 p.m. So all you've got to remember is 7-11. 7-11, folks. 7 p.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Central Time. Any additional check-ins for tonight? Go ahead.
W0FOX.
All right, I think I copied W0FOX. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I got my TMV71A. I'm real happy with it so far. I guess I'm busy watching the paint dry. Got it from a place in Milwaukee. How does it sound on the 14545 repeater?
Sounding great, sounding great. Coming in clear. And you're sounding great. Go ahead with your comments. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, I know you're busy tonight. I just wanted to do a quick test, see how it sounded. I want to see how far. What does that do on my low power?
W0FOX sub. Yeah. You still sound pretty good there. Go ahead.
I don't even need. I guess I can just use low power then. All right. W0FOX, I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you. I just wanted to check in. I had a major follow-up medically and had to go to urgent care. Well, we now know my fever and chills ain't coming from my bladder infection. It's due to a fluid that I have.
W0FOX, yeah. You know what? You may want to come in. You sound pretty good, but you broke up there at the end a little bit. You might want to come in a little bit higher. And but you do sound good on the lower power. You sounded a little bit more clear when you were on the higher power, but you still can get through. So if you need to get through in a situation, in any situation, you'll be able to get in at low power. Go ahead once again, and then we'll move on.
I bumped it up to medium power. That should be fine. I don't need high power for me being so close to the repeater. Medium should be fine. W0FOX.
Okay, great. W0FOX, KK4JZX, and thank you very much for checking in tonight. I appreciate that. If you've got another comment, feel free to jump in anytime, and we'll take it. Anybody else? Anybody else for tonight for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet? Go ahead.
N3AIN, Joe in Pennsylvania.
No, wait a minute. Now, why not? I recognize that voice. N3AIN, that's Joe, and of course you said it's Joe, but my good friend Joe, thanks for joining us tonight. And what's up? I know you've got one for us tonight. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Oh boy. Well, the problem I have right now is so deep that I I think it's too big for the net. I'd like to be able to get with you on the side if I could after the net, if you have any time. I'd like to connect direct with you and see if there's a way you could help me out of this. But if not, it's okay too. But I've been trying for a long time I'll give you the bottom line. I won't tell you everything I did to try to fix this so far or what I think caused it, because it's a pretty long story. But basically, the problem right now, I have one big problem. Jaws won't come up speaking for me. And when I try to, when I boot up the computer, I use NVDA to hear what's going on. And when I boot up the computer, it says, after it's booted up, there's an error, I guess. It says, application for JAWS. And then it's a don't send button or a send button. And it says if you're in the middle of something, your data might be lost, blah, blah, blah. And you can send the error report to Microsoft, and it doesn't make any difference whether you send it or not. But what comes up, it says application for JAWS or application file for JAWS. There's something wrong somewhere, but the lesser problem I have is my link. When I click on a link in Outlook Express, it won't open. If there's a link to a website or something, it won't open anymore. So I don't know if those two problems are connected or if they're totally different or what. But sorry, I can't be have any tips for you tonight or anything like that. Just problems. Back to you, KK4JZX, N3AIN.
Oh, Joe, N3AIN, KK4JZX. I do have a suggestion for you. Application file for JAWS. I mean, that could be anything, but one of the most interesting issues that you could have with a JAWS installation when you have that, when it's not speaking in the beginning, when you start the computer, is you want to, you know, depending on the version you're running, I mean, make sure you have a copy of it on the desktop somewhere so you can reinstall it. But my suggestion is that you uninstall JAWS, including shared components. When you do the uninstall for JAWS, make sure that you choose uninstall JAWS and shared components, and uninstall any custom scripts that you might have in your user folder there. Under my documents, your username, and it's actually, you can explore it through the JAWS folder. But if you want to rename that folder, or you want to copy it off somewhere and then clear all that out, remove JAWS and shared components, reinstall JAWS, and usually that happens when there's a change in the video or there's an update to your video card driver or something like that, and something got all screwy with the video driver and the link with JAWS. So Joe, I hope I've made a good suggestion for you there. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll go along a bit further with this then with you. I did that, and that didn't fix it. I also what else did I do? The only thing maybe I didn't do is, you said scripts for JAWS. Do you mean, that's one thing I don't think I did take out. I took out shared settings and what do they call it? User settings. I took all of that out. But and then I reinstalled JAWS, and it still does the same thing. However, if you're saying shared settings, or not shared settings, scripts, you're saying scripts. The only thing I didn't do is, do you mean scripts like Skype scripts and something like that? Over.
You know, Joe. The user files are usually enough to remove that. But you want to verify that stuff gets deleted, because sometimes something crops up in there that's either older or newer, and what happens is the JAWS will not remove it, so the folder remains and something stays behind. So you want to check under your documents and settings, under all users, you want to check under application data, make sure that there's nothing under Freedom Scientific, and that's going to help you. Maybe if there's something in there lagging back there, you want to get rid of that. And maybe you want to consider looking and making sure that you've got the latest video drivers and audio drivers for your machine. That's going to help you as well. KK4JZX, go ahead. Go ahead, Joe. Going back to N3AIN.
Okay, didn't check with video drivers or anything, but now the last thing, let me tell you what when this happened, when this started, if I don't know if this will help you at all. I tried a demo, another demo program called Supernova. It's from Dolphin, Heil Dolphin Supernova. It's another screen reader. And that's when this problem started, even though now I uninstalled Dolphin and everything having to do with that. I even called the tech support for Supernova, and they told me where all the registry keys and everything were to uninstall to get in case anything could be causing that problem. But and I did that, but I still have the problem. I'll turn it over to you for one more time, because I don't know how many people are in here, so I don't want to hold up the net any further. But also, when I uninstalled JAWS, one of the times I did it, the last time I tried to uninstall it, I used a third-party program called Revo Uninstaller, and I did a forced uninstall in advance of anything having to do with Freedom Scientific, and it took everything out. And now when I put it back, same thing. So unless there's a registry key or something in there somewhere, I'm using a demo of JAWS 14, unless there's a registry key in there somewhere that doesn't get taken out that I don't know about, I don't know. But or could it be a Windows problem? Something with Microsoft. I don't know. Anyway, I'll turn it back over to you. If you have anything further for me with that, oh boy, if you could send it in an email or something, I'd really appreciate it. Or we could get together on the side. That'd be great, but I don't want to hold up the NIT any further. N3AIN, back to KK4JZF.
N3AIN, Joe, you're not holding up the NIT, Joe. This is exactly what we want to do. Of course, we're not going to take all night, but I'm going to give you some suggestions and hopefully have some additional check-ins to give you suggestions. In fact, before I give you my other suggestions, I'm going to ask for any additional calls. Maybe somebody here has a quick suggestion for you, and then I'll come back and give you two or three more suggestions, and we can take it from there. And if we don't answer it tonight, I'll definitely send you an email and send you a bunch of other suggestions that I might have for you. I've been a private beta tester for JAWS for about 7 years now, since version 8. So I've gone through a bunch of stuff with them, and I might be able to help you there. Anybody that might have a suggestion for Joe, N3AIN, go ahead and check in, and then I'll come back. KK4JZX.
KA9OPL.
Go ahead, Joe. KA9OPL.
Okay. I'm not a JAWS user per se, although I have used it. I usually use WindowEyes, but since I'm a programmer, as you, the one thing I could think of is maybe trying to do a portable install onto a flash and seeing if that runs, because that should have everything self-contained on the flash instead of trying to run anything off the machine. I don't know if that makes sense or not, Jose, but that's something that comes to mind. Over.
Yeah, Joe, that's a good suggestion. The Freedom Scientific portable installer is a manual copy. Doesn't require an install like that, but it's usually a manual copy to a flash drive, and then you run it after you install one component of it, which is separate. What else do you think it might be? And then we'll go ahead and move forward. KK4JZX, go ahead.
Yeah, KA9OP. That's right. I remember now. There's the JAWS, the screen interface, the hook into the screen interface is the thing you have to install separately, I guess. And I guess, well, he kind of indicated he reinstalled that, including that. It sounds like it really does sound like the Supernova may have mess some things up, and I don't know if it's in the video interface, as you suggested. Ah, boy, I'm not real sure what else to tell him to do, and also it depends a little bit on what release of the OS he's running. Joe, are you running XP or 7 or... and do you only have a demo copy of JAWS, or do you have a full version as well? And I guess that would be a couple other things to think about. But, Jose, you probably can go a little deeper on the JAWS side of it than I can. But those are just some thoughts. Over.
Okay, Joe, K9OPL. Yeah, let me see. You had a good question there, and maybe Joe can come back. Joe, N3AIN, what operating system are you running there, and do you have all the latest updates in terms of service packs and all that? Go ahead, KK4DZX.
Yeah, I have XP Home and Service Pack 3, and Net Framework 4. I don't even think I needed 4, but I have it. I think 3.5 would have been the right one, but XP and Service Pack 3, and it's a JAWS demo right now. Over.
Okay, and we'll see what we can do here. If anybody else has any other suggestions, I'm going to come back to Joe, KA9OPL, and then we'll come back to additional check-ins. Joe, KA9OPL, go ahead with any comments, and then we'll move on with additional check-ins. Maybe there are other suggestions here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't... Can't think of anything offhand, especially if you really have completely uninstalled it and then reinstalled. Yeah, that's a little bit strange. Yeah, I don't know. I'll sit and listen, and if something else comes to mind, Jose, I'll break back in. But back to you, KK4JZX, and Joe, and the rest of the net, KA9OPL.
All right. KA9OPL, KK4JZX here. Anybody else that would like to check in and maybe chime in on the question by Joe and 3AN? Anybody anywhere, go ahead.
KE5AL.
KE5AL, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, he was saying he has this problem when he boots the computer up. I wonder if he's tried starting JAWS after he boots and what happens when he does that, if he gets the same error.
Joe, N3AN, I think what he's suggesting, what Jim is suggesting, is that you configure JAWS so that it doesn't start automatically, and then you start it up when you're on the desktop and see if that crashes. Go ahead, I'm coming back to N3AN. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, that's the workaround. Now, that works. If I tell JAWS not to come up speaking, then when I boot up the computer again, I don't get that JAWS application for JAWS. That doesn't come up anymore. And then I can start JAWS manually. Also, if I tell JAWS to come up speaking when I boot up the computer, then I get the error message, if that's what it is. The application file for JAWS comes up. But then once I close all that garbage out, I can still start up JAWS manually. And it works, but I'd rather have it boot up on its own, like it used to. Also, when I have to mention too, when I did take JAWS out, when I really, really removed it deeply, video intercept went out, went away, and everything went, even the talking installer, everything. So I think it was pretty well cleaned out before I reinstalled it. However, I don't know though, because I do remember installing JAWS on a computer, on an older computer that I got last week for the first time, and there were two boot ups when I installed JAWS for the very first time on a machine. But now, even though I think I completely removed it, even though I thought that, installing it on this machine again, there was only one restart. Does that tell you anything, Jose? Does that tell you that it was that there is something left somewhere in the registry anywhere, even because I only had to boot up, restart once with this computer? I hope I'm making sense. and 3AIN, and then you guys go ahead and carry on. And I do have one other, I do have one other problem too. This might be simpler to fix. I don't know if this is tied in with that, or it's totally different. But I can't open links on web pages through my, if somebody sends me a link from in an email. For instance, yesterday I couldn't open the download link for the Handy Hams newsletter from my Outlook Express in Windows XP. Links won't open anymore in emails. That's the other problem. Thank you, Jose, and everybody. Turn it back over to you, N3AIN.
Okay, Joe, N3AIN. We'll come back to the other issues that you're having there. But, and thanks to Jim, KE4AL, if I'm keeping all this stuff in my head correctly here. Thanks for the suggestion. And your workaround is what Joe said he was using. So, yeah, thanks for that. Joe, N3AIN, that makes a lot of sense, yeah. When you're installing, I think when you install the first, when you install the video intercept, which I think K9OPL and I were trying to remember, the video intercept requires a restart. And then the second install at the end requires a second restart. So if you're logging in as the administrator on that machine locally, and you're installing it as an admin, then it should install for everybody. But that's interesting that it had one restart. Anybody else that would like to make any suggestions, any additional check-ins, any comments for this very interesting topic? KK4JZX, go ahead. All right, Tom. Maybe we'll move back a little bit to the to your issue there, Joe. And you know, I'm sure you've tried the standard stuff of doing scan disks and all that, scanning everything on your computer for viruses and all that. That's obviously the first recommendation. And then make sure you have all the latest video drivers and everything on your machine. Make sure, you know, that way you avoid that the issue of perhaps something got corrupted with the other stuff that you were doing with the machine, and clear things up there. Do a repair of do a refresh of your video driver installations and sound card driver installations. And if you can go out to the manufacturer's website and download all the latest drivers for that machine, you know, BIOS updates, if you can do that, you know, anything that has to do with that machine that requires a hardware driver, then do those updates. And and maybe that'll solve your problems, because perhaps any other update might have caused this thing to go haywire like this. Joe, I'm coming back to you. N3AIN, go ahead, and then we'll move on.
Okay. The one thing I didn't do that you mentioned was checking for updated drivers for the video card or video section. I will check that. I will do that. Thank you. I don't know why that would have changed or why would it stop working if it was working before, but again, I may be connected. It may be connected with maybe something. Maybe Supernova did something with video drivers to screw them up, and maybe now I have to reinstall them or something. But if I start JAWS manually, you'd never know there was anything wrong with it. It just works. And I will check Malwarebytes and my antivirus software too to see if there's anything that's messed up with viruses that I don't know about. Thank you. If you want to address the email links not opening problem, that'd be fine too. But if not, we could hold that for another week. This is the biggest problem I ever had with my computer. N3AIN, back to you.
Hey Joe, you know, we can work a little bit on your see if anybody has any suggestions on your email issue. And if it has to do with JAWS, then there are some things that you could do. But let's see if anybody else would like to check in at this time, and then we'll move forward with your question. And then after we are done with you, we'll close the net for tonight. But let me take any additional check-ins for tonight. Any questions, maybe comments for you, maybe suggestions for for your issues there. And this is KK4DZX down in Miami, Florida, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet, taking your check-ins tonight. Go ahead.
K9OPL with one more comment.
Go right ahead, Joe, K9OPL.
Okay, well, you know, that the last part of the conversation here with Joe changes a lot now that we know that actually JAWS does work when you start it manually. That's a completely different ballgame, because that means the video driver intercept is working. Otherwise, the JAWS would not be responding at all. So my thinking is, I don't know if JAWS has this. I know WindowEyes has something called an emergency removal that literally goes out and makes sure everything is gone from everywhere. Because my suspicion is that there's something in when XP starts that's trying to come up. And the auto start for JAWS is not right. Now, one thing you can do, I think in JAWS, as in WindowEyes, in the options, you can set it whether it comes up at startup or not. My suggestion would be is to go into JAWS, turn that off, let it come up normally, then go back and turn it on to see if maybe re-enabling it, you know, kind of resets any of the registry keys that are being used to control that part of the process. The only other thing I can think of. Back to you, Jose.
Good suggestion. And there's beyond that setting that you mentioned, you know, turning off auto start. And by the way, the emergency uninstall, JAWS has an uninstall where at the end you choose to remove shared components. And that clears out everything. By the way, this is KK4JZX for ID. And one more thing that could be done if you have multiple users configured on the machine, you can also configure JAWS to start for any particular user or for all users. And so you want to check into that as well if that's happening there. If that could be changed, all those settings can be tried. When JAWS starts in the beginning, it starts as a service, and then there's two ways that it can start. It can start interactively, or it can start in the tray, in the system tray. So you want to check check it both ways. If you can start it interactively, do that. And if it's running in the tray, try it both ways. That's another suggestion. And anybody else? Anybody else with any further check-ins or any comments? This is KK4JZX. Go ahead. All right. We're getting near to the end here, but I think Joe still has a couple things that he'd like to address here tonight before we close the net. Your issue with your email links there, Joe, N3AIN, you're saying that you're not able to activate links from your email. Tell us a little bit more about that, and then we'll see if anybody here has any suggestions for you. This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what caused it. I think I had this problem once before, but it was a while ago, and I don't remember what happened, what I did to fix it. But what happens is when I click on a link in Outlook Express, if there's a link to a web page or something, nothing happens. It's as simple as that. Nothing happens. Back to you.
Oh, okay. And this is with JAWS, correct? Go ahead.
It's with JAWS or NVDA. It doesn't even open that using NVDA either. I thought maybe it was tied in with JAWS, a problem, but it doesn't open using NVDA either.
Okay. Anybody have any suggestions for that? This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
9OPL again.
Go ahead, Joe. K9OPL.
Okay. KK4JZX and N3AIN and the group. K9OPL. I think that probably means, Joe, that Outlook Express has been switched so that it's not opening an HTML, perhaps. Maybe it's trying to open your documents just as text documents, so it's not reading them as links, is what I'm thinking. I don't use Outlook Express very much because the only machine I've got that has it is my wife's machine. I'm running Windows 7 on mine, and so I don't play around with it as much, but I'm pretty sure that you may have to check to see somewhere in the settings, and I can't tell you where, in the options to determine whether or not your system is opening documents as HTML or if it's just opening them as text. And I'm suspecting that maybe it's not opening them as HTML. Jose, does that make any sense to you?
You know, I was tempted to give him that answer before, but I as a net controller, I want to make sure everybody else gets an opportunity. But you hit the nail on the head as to what I was thinking about, and good suggestion. I think that you can change that when you open up Outlook at the very top around the toolbar. There's a drop-down box that says, you know, if you're using the JAWS cursor. Or even the PC cursor, move JAWS to PC, you can move around up there and you can find it. It'll say plain text, and if you drop down, then it'll say HTML, so that way you can read your messages in HTML. N3IN, go ahead, if you copy us there.
Okay, yeah, I remember seeing that in there. I'm going to go in there and look, not now, but I'm going to go in there and look when we're done here, and if that's what it is, that's a simple change. That's a simple fix. Also, back to JAWS again, back to my problem here with JAWS. One of the things that seems a little suspicious, and I don't know how to change this, if it even is a factor, but with JAWS not starting up, if I go into Run and MS Config and Services, one of the things in there is, let me drop it for a second because I have to read this again because I want to get it exactly and tell you exactly what it says. JFW service manufacturer, something something systems BLV group, and it's stopped. Does that mean anything? Over.
Yeah. There. If you go into your services under control panel, but it stopped because it failed. That's why it's showing stopped, because it failed and errored out. So that application file for JAWS is exactly what you're getting. It's a typical Windows error, and the service is stopped only because you have been it has crashed, and it failed to stop. So you can try to launch it again by going into your services, but you can try that at some point later on after the net. Go in there into Control Panel under Computer Management, and then go to Services, and take a look at the JAWS service. By the way, it's Freedom Scientific that you know what you read there. By the way, again, this is KK4JZX, and you know, you can try to start it from there and see if that starts, and I'm sure it will, because you would already be in the interactive mode. But let me see if anybody else has any other suggestions at all. And then we'll come back to you, Joe. Anybody anywhere, would you like to check in tonight and make a suggestion here for Joe? Go ahead.
KE5AL.
Go ahead, Jim. KE5AL.
Yeah, if it's coming up after the system boots, I seriously doubt it's a video driver issue. I would call FS support. I'll just bet she's got something stuck in the registry that's bad.
Go ahead, Joe. N3N, go ahead.
That's what I think. Thank you. I think, now, Jose, you would know more than I do about this because you're a programmer, but I'll ask this question and just say no if you think I'm wrong. Not, you know, don't have to say yes to encourage me. But I'm just wondering if there could there be something in the registry left after completely trying to remove JAWS like that? Could there be something that's left behind that's causing this? That's my thinking, but I don't know the registry well enough to know if that would be it, if that could be, and where it would be. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, and thank you very much, everybody, for the good suggestions. I'm going to turn it over to you, Jose, for one more time, and let you guys carry on. N3AIM.
Yeah, you know, it could be, but it could also be caused by something else. Remember, JAWS installs the video intercept in the video chain. It inserts itself in the video chain. And if anything else breaks that, then it could be a problem with any application that inserts itself in the video chain. I don't know how many of the screen readers insert a component in the video chain like that, like JAWS does with the video intercept. But I'm gonna take final comments here from anybody else that would like to jump in. This is KK4JZX, folks, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Still going, and it's 9:44 p.m. my time here, 8:44 p.m. Central. Any further comments on this very, very fascinating and interesting topic? Go ahead.
K9OPL.
That's my comment. KF7UTR.
Hey, Joe, if you'll hang on there for a second, K9OPL, KF7UTR, Brad, who hasn't been around here for a while, so I wanted to bring him in and say hello to him, and then take your comment there, Joe. So keep it there, and let's see what KF7UTR is up to there. Go ahead, Brad.
Hello, Jose. Hello, everybody. Yes, I have been quite absent lately due to my new work schedule and work environment. Even though I am still driving truck, it's just crazy.
Go ahead, Brad. I think I'm timed out there. KF7UTR. This is KK4JZX.
Oh, have a great evening, everybody. 73's KF7UTR.
All right, Brad. Don't be a stranger. You know, come back whenever you can. We've missed you on here on the TechNet. But you've got priorities. You know, work is more important. So keep working but come back whenever you can. We'll definitely welcome you here. Turning it over to Joe. Joe, KA9OPL. Go ahead with your comment.
Okay. Yeah. Just one more. Just kind of reiterate what I said earlier. I think it would still be worth a try going into JAWS when it's up and turning off the auto startup and seeing if that maybe clears out the registry if there is a problem there. Maybe it would clear it out and then reboot the system, and if it comes up clean without that error, you could try adding that auto start back in. But I'm wondering if that might get the registry straightened out if you go ahead and let JAWS turn that auto start up off. That's the only thing I can think of. And so I'm going to turn it back, and that's going to be the end of me, because don't want to stay on too long. Good evening, everybody. God bless. KA9OPL. I'll stand by and just listen for a while.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much, KA9OPL, of course. And we're going to close the net very soon as well. We're getting close to 2 hours, and definitely been a good discussion and good TechNet. And this is the kind of stuff we like to talk about, you know, technology, whether it's one topic or many topics. And sometimes we just stay here for a while and we can't get off. But there are things that we've got to do, so we're going to try to close it after. Any final comments from Joe, which is N3AIN? Any final comments there, and then we'll see where we take it from there. KK4JZX, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I did hear that comment earlier, and I forgot to comment on it, but I did try that, and it, what you're saying, tell JAWS not to come up and then boot the computer, and then tell it to come up again, and then boot it again, and I'm, the same error came back, and it didn't fix it. So the only thing I didn't try, that didn't do, was check to see about my to see if I have any viruses or Trojans around. I'm gonna check that yet. Boy, wouldn't it be something if that's all it was? but I don't know. Anyway, thanks a lot, guys, and of course the video drivers too. I didn't check with that. But boy, there's something's really deep embedded in there, and that's messed things up. I'm going to have to send this out to a tech guy that I know to fix it, and I think he will be able to, because he does computers for a living. But I'm trying to be able to fix it myself and save the bucks, but I don't think I can. Anyway, Jose, if you have anything else that you could send in an email later, that'd be great. If not, that's okay too. N3AIN73, all of you, and God bless everybody, and have a great weekend. Take it easy. N3AIN clear, and listening out.
All right, Joe, N3AIN, thanks for checking in tonight. And we're taking final check-ins, final comments for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight. We're coming up on 2 hours, and we're definitely very appreciative of the repeater owners that are allowing us to do this, and very thankful for Handy Ham's also allowing us to do this, doing something that we love to do, which is talk about technology. But I'd like to take any final comments. You can come in and make your final comment, and then I'll come back at the end and close the net. This is KK4JZX. Go right ahead. All right. Looks like we're closing for tonight. And as always, it's been a pleasure. And this is Jose in Miami, Florida, for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And, you know, we're here every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Central. Hopefully I can be here every Thursday to talk about technology with you folks. And thanks to everybody who checked in tonight, you know, from pretty much everywhere in the country here. And want to thank the repeater owners, KA0PQW, and Don and 0BVE, and all the others that have given up their equipment to allow us to do what we like to do, which is talk about technology and have a conversation about this kind of thing. And that's pretty much it for tonight, folks. If you'd like to find out more about Handy Hams, you can visit the website at www.handyham.org and click on Nets, and you'll find out everything you need to find out about our daily nets. And this has been great. And this is KK4JZX saying 73 and clear.